Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he had said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us, then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, here we are again in the Gospel of Matthew with the Pharisees who once more are questioning Jesus and challenging his authority. They ask him, "Teacher, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Now, this is a loaded question if there ever was one. It just so happens that the way the Pharisees phrase this question means that Jesus is completely trapped. If he answers yes, then he will surely be condemned by the Jewish leaders for blaspheming against God with such idolatry. If he answers no, then he's subject to punishment by the Roman government as a traitor. So what does he do? This is the point in the passage I think that deserves a dramatic pause. For it is in this place that the tides turn. Jesus has the opportunity to walk or even run away, to dismiss the Pharisees as hypocrites and move on with his life. Yet he doesn't run away, nor does he avoid them. Instead, he stands in truth and tells it like it is. The stakes are high. Jesus could be arrested or rejected at any moment, and yet he still chooses to call them out on their hypocrisy, and he chooses to answer their question. I don't know about you, but when I become aware of someone trying to trick me, I tend to become defensive. So why does Jesus not do that here? I think it's because he recognizes the Pharisees are limited in their ability to extend compassion to him or to any other understanding of God that is beyond their own. Jesus could have said something like this: "You Pharisees, you're all the same. I knew you would ask me this because you never pay attention, do you?" I can imagine myself being compelled to say such things if I were in Jesus' shoes. But instead, our Lord gives them grace. He allows space for them to be in his life. The key piece is that Jesus opens his heart to them here. He allows himself to be vulnerable in the face of ridicule, shame, and even death. This does not mean he shies away from his message or the divine truth. It means he speaks the truth boldly while simultaneously being vulnerable. This is a conscious act on his part to stand in the place of humility with rock-solid strength. He has placed himself in a situation which could have him arrested or killed, and yet he's still willing to talk to them. I think this shows the love he had even for the Pharisees. He loved them enough as human beings to answer their questions and to continue to remind them of God, the same God they claim to know and worship. So why on earth does Jesus continue to speak to these people he thinks are liars? Is it to prove his point? Is he always thinking about the next fight and how and if he will win it? I don't think so. This is an act of a loving God that wants his people to know him, and a God that seeks to know us truly at the very depths of our being. This thought of being vulnerable can sometimes be incredibly terrifying, and it's the last place I want to go, especially when confronted with someone I consider threatening, like the Pharisees in our gospel today. I would like to offer that it is in this very space of vulnerability that we can meet the living God. It is in the place of vulnerability where our defenses are down, enough for us to hear the Holy Spirit and that still small voice within us speaking to our very core. How do you do this, you might ask? Well, the details may not be the same for each of us, but we have an excellent model for such vulnerability in the life of Christ. He was and is a God who is sinless and did not deserve such punishment, but cared enough about his people to open his heart even to the Pharisees. And he still cares for us today. The theologian Henry Nouwen suggests that for us to nurture this intimacy with God, we need to shift from prayers of the mind to prayers of the heart. He goes on to say that the Desert Fathers claim verbose prayers can be a distraction of the mind in our busy lives, and it is important to seek simplicity. He suggests simple prayers, just a word or a phrase. So whether it's a name for God, such as Abba, Father, Lord, Savior, or a phrase, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. It does not have to be fancy for you to connect with God. I can imagine Jesus offering up such a prayer as he waited for the Pharisees to return with their denarius. What matters is our attempt to seek God. It is in this place that Jesus was able to hold the space as an offering of compassion to the Pharisees as they tried once again to entangle him with their words. What if the next time you experience someone frustrating you or being verbally aggressive, what if we attempt to connect with God in that very moment? What if we follow the example of Jesus and open our hearts in prayer to our enemies and to those who frustrate us to no end? What would happen if we did that? If we prayed for them in the way we would pray for ourselves, for our dearest friends or our spouse? I will tell you what happens for me is complete transformation. In connecting with God in prayer in this way, my frustration, anger, and pain is transformed. And my thoughts and actions shift from defensive to peaceful, from hatred to love. I'm not sure how it works, but I know it to be true. When I am thinking deceitful thoughts about my neighbor because I'm jealous of their new outfit or shiny car or their lawnmower, whatever it may be, it's usually because deep down inside I am scared I will never have enough, that I will not get the things I want, that God does not give me the desires of my heart, because that would be too selfish of me to ask for what I want. I think the Pharisees in this passage come at Jesus with deceit and trickery because they are afraid they will not have their needs met, afraid they may die or suffer persecution at the hands of the Romans because some young man from Nazareth decided to preach a message they do not understand. They are fearful because this whole thing is out of their control. Yet this is the precise moment where God can meet us, in this place of fear and vulnerability. It is in acknowledging our fear that we can know God through that still small voice within us. And this is the perfect time to go to our Lord in prayer. When I release my fears to the Almighty and trust that I will be cared for, that my needs will be provided, I can then take the action that needs to be done with God's help. There is a reason we say this phrase when we renew our baptismal covenant. I will with God's help. Because it is not on our own that we have to fight off fears and protect others from the wiles of Satan. But it is with God's help that we live our lives and walk through fear, pain, and doubt, and even the joys of this world. Jesus may have stood alone physically when the Pharisees questioned his knowledge of the Torah and the Roman law, but he also stood with God the Father. The good news is that we do too. The Trinity, the Godhead of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is here for us now and always. So let us go with God's help and step into the compassion that our Lord showed us. Let us pray for each other, for those things we would ask for ourselves, even when we would rather curse or gossip or politely reject our enemies. For it is in taking on the compassion of God as Jesus did that we will come to know true intimacy with our Lord. Amen.